gather round now, my people, let's get down now. We know y'all feel the sound now, ladies, shake it on me. So move it, mommy, let me clear my mind. Move with the beat, submerge in the rhyme. So move it, mommy, let me clear my head. While you live and breathe every word that I said. So move it, mommy, let me clear my mind. Move with the beat, submerge in the rhyme. So move it, mommy, let me clear my head. While you live and breathe every word that I said. Cultures united, where we reside at. Buildings infested, zoos are arrested. Demand them, keep it bashed out. Plus they cash out like it ain't nothing. Broke niggas front. My city got the best and it's got the worst. Places to go, the gift and the curse. When the summer gets hot, like coals on the Barbie. Burning like them slugs or shots of Bacardi. My whole town stuck up, don't get stuck up. And find your head spinning like a hockey puck. From the home of the CN Tower, chain and bitch to Glendower. Where thugs need go like flower. Around now, my people, let's get down now. We know y'all feel the sound now. Ladies, shake it on me.
We've grown all of us. And good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 15th day of November 2010. This is your host, BK, aka VJ, here on CKLN's Rude Awakening, 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Opened with Lil G Wonder, found the CD in the studio, but got the magical computers working. So I'm going to let Alex Jones from the Alex Jones Show break down a bit of our beautiful world. We're under a demonic spell, but you know what? We're fighting back, and we're doing it this morning, and we're going to do it after we come back.
Remember when Bilderberg Group didn't exist and you were a nut if you talked about it? Remember when the CFR didn't exist and Rush Limbaugh told you it didn't exist? And so now that it's all out in the open, people go, well, I was told it didn't exist, but now I'm for it when they admit it exists because I'm a member of the establishment. Yeah, you're a member of the establishment. What you are is a delusional, weak-minded coward. You know, most cowards don't grovel and consciously know they're cowards. They make little mind games, little tricks with themselves and decide that everything's okay. No, everything is not okay. Everything is not okay. My children aren't safe. Your children aren't safe. None of us are safe unless you really get angry and get focused and get serious. I mean, if you take action and go out and hang flyers everywhere on whatever issue you're into every day, 365 days a year, even 10 flyers in your town, it will turn into a huge news story and will affect change. If you started a local newsletter reporting all this and hand-delivered it to everybody in your neighborhood, within months it would cause change. If you went and stood on a soapbox once a week at a street corner, it would cause change. If you went to your city council every week, it would cause change. If you ran for political office, it would cause fast change. You got to get up there boldly and tell people what's going on. I see so many patriots, they go, I know this sounds kooky, but there's a world government forming, and please don't laugh at me in some supine, pompous, sycophantic, you know, neighbor of theirs will just laugh at them and then giggle and go in and watch their football. Move on when that person does that, and don't be apologetic about it. You're doing that slob, that swath, a favor trying to warn them. That's all that's going on here.
Back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Alex Jones just reminding us, and he's a guy who'd know that just taking action is you know, can have an effect. And all you have to do is look at the number of people taking action on the biggest issues that face us today, issues that we know about. I mean, there's no, you know, I was playing a little touch football yesterday up in Milton with some friends, and I had a great time. It was the morning after some very heavy chemtrail spraying out there. Actually, quite beautiful, eerily beautiful on Saturday evening, around 5:30ish. I took a look outside and I was like, "Wow, it's a beautiful sunset and giant X patterns in the sky." And it's also one of those moments for me because I go through some of those moments as well, where you just go, you know, what can be done about an issue that big, what can I do, what is the worth of my voice, you know, and so on and so forth. And if I take the time to do this, will it be worth it, you know, in terms of filming it, posting it, whatever. And so there are all these moments of doubt that are engineered by our culture, and yet as Alex Jones from the Alex Jones Show and others will remind us, it is through taking action that we can feel our own individual worth, and that we can inspire other people to feel their individual worth, and then together, through all of us feeling individually, you know, worthy, we can get some big things done. And one of the proofs of that is in the naked body scanner issue. Something for fans of InfoWars, you may be aware of. For those of you who haven't, I haven't been covering it so much because I'm not sure about the crossover with respect to the InfoWars listenership and my own here on CKLN Radio. Mondays and Thursdays. But I will tell you, I watched this this story evolve from the Alex Jones Show to parallel websites and blogs to the mainstream media to finally seeing an article on Yahoo News, Yahoo Canada main page. Naked body scanners may cause cancer, scientists. And there it is. And then I saw it on the CBC where they were talking about, you know, the naked body scanners. But they weren't talking about the body scanners. It must be understood here that there are a million things that the media and the mass media could report on. But they don't just randomly pick and choose some health risk out there that they feel is notable. What they do is they react to public outcry. And when enough public outcry was engendered through the independent media, shows like the Alex Jones Show, the Drudge Report, other blogs and websites started talking about it, that gave people inside the travel industry, and for those of you out there who don't know, I mean the body scanners at the airports in America, I've heard there's a few here in Canada as well, but there's definitely being rolled out in America, first at the airports, and then at malls and movie theaters and everywhere else, ostensibly, at least according to certain sources, on the naked body scanner, who report on the naked body scanners. And what they do is they take an image of your body, they pierce through your clothes, and they take a sort of a biometric scan of your naked body, which can be matched to other scans. And much like the hundreds or thousands of, actually millions of closed-circuit television cameras in England and the thousands here in Toronto, they can literally eventually track you no matter where you go using a number of different biometrics, your face, your bone structure, your retina, your fingerprints, and your naked body. And that is the plan for the Panopticon cashless surveillance society that we are supposedly heading into unless we act up. But the good news is we are acting up. We are acting a fool. And so what ended up happening is the independent media started picking up on it. Travelers started reporting their tales of woe to the independent media of either going through the naked body scanners, or if they decided not to go through the naked body scanners, then they were getting groped up by transportation safety authorities in the United States who were doing serious sort of body searches. Now, I've been searched at clubs. I've been patted down at the airport. But this sort of thing is where they invasively check into your private areas and everywhere else. And you just got to go, what the hell's going on here? I mean, you know, if there is a random chance of somebody coming on this airplane and doing something bad, is this the best way to stop it? Systematically and routinely violating our privacy and our dignity by manhandling us. And yet, those are the instructions inside the bureaucracy. So what ended up happening? Independent media went nuts. Travelers went a little nuts. That helped give courage to members of the travel industry, including airline pilots, stewards and stewardesses, people involved in tourism, to start speaking out. And then the mass media and the good people who work inside the mass media said, this gives us enough political cover fire to cover this. And that's essentially how it works. If you're a journalist, you can't just go out on a limb and decide to randomly attack Monsanto, like with a samurai sword, or a pen, or a laptop, or an iPad. You know, you have to have a reason. But if a whole bunch of people in Toronto or in Canada or anywhere else decide to go nuts and attack Monsanto and genetically modified foods and so on, then the media could pick up on it. It's the same thing with the vaccine issue. Again, as I've mentioned several times, CBC came and talked to us in August of 2009, September of 2009, September 30th actually, myself and my colleagues at Toronto Truth Seekers, because we were consistently putting out, you know, warnings and questioning the viability and the effectiveness of the H1N1 pandemic vaccine at the time. And the CBC producers were being nice. You know, the reporter, you can check out the Press for Truth video on this. Just Google the shot is the pandemic, CBC, the shot is the pandemic, and you'll find the two videos put together by Dan Dix, Steve Davies, Brian Law, and from pressfortruth.ca. And the point is that regardless of how they treat you, you know, after they talk to you, the fact that they're talking to you means that in some way they're trying to reach out and like you. And so we have to compromise. I mean, I saw Geraldo Rivera, Fox News yesterday, in a YouTube clip off Infowars.com, where Geraldo was basically reporting on Building 7, the third building to fall during the 9/11 attacks in New York, after the first two at 5:30 p.m., several hours after the first two Twin Towers fell. And he had Bob McElveen, who was the father of a victim at the World Trade Center. His son died in the World Trade Center attacks. And an engineer from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. There's 12 or 1,300 now that question the official story from a purely technical physics perspective. And there's Geraldo showing a clip from a couple years ago when he was being drowned out at outside reporting for Fox News at a live event. By a bunch of 9/11 truthers carrying signs, and then 2 years later saying, you know what, those people might have been right. So what ends up happening? Well, Bob McElveen, the other victims' families in New York are having a building what campaign, because when they took their case to a New York judge to ask him to ask for a new investigation into the 9/11 attacks in New York, and they told him about Building 7, the judge said, building what? Because he didn't know about Building 7. The third building to fall that day wasn't hit by a plane, had small fires, and there's no way in heck it should have collapsed. So the point is, it is all about what we do out there. It's all about what we do about what's going on. And so to give you a bit more on that, I'm going to take you back to Mr. Alex Jones from the Alex Jones Radio Show, talking about exactly what I talked about, just to lock that in, because we do need these inspirational stories here in the 21st century. We're being sedated. And speaking of the sedation and the chemtrails out there, Conspiracy Culture, book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles in downtown Toronto, conspiracyculture.com, is having a screening of the movie What in the World Are They Spraying? And in the last 15 minutes of the show, I'm going to be taking phone calls at 416-595-1655 if you would like two free pro bono tickets to the Bloor Cinema and ConspiracyCulture.com screening of What in the World Are They Spraying this Saturday. But for now, the Alex Jones Show from Friday, the 12th of November.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to continue now with this Reuters report. Pilots and passengers rail at new airport pat-downs. Headline, Gateway to Commerce. Well, that's what this is all about. If the government can control the airways and the highways, they control everything, just like Rome. Executives from the travel industry, including online travel sites, theme parks, and hotels, were set to meet with Homeland Security Director Janet Napolitano and the head of the TSA today to discuss their concerns that security is crippling travel. You see, the boycott's working. My wife and children haven't flown in 9 years, ladies and gentlemen, because they're not going through it. And if you stop me at a checkpoint in the highway, you're not putting your hands on my daughters and my son and my wife. You got it, thugs? With your open borders, you got it? We know your boss has carried out the attacks. You got it? It's over. We know you carried out the attacks to set up a police state grid to get away with stealing all the pension funds and taxing us. It's all about the foreign banks taking over. This is how they're introducing authoritarian oppression. Sorry, I'm getting angry. I just think about it. Executives from the travel industry. See, this is the power of the people. Including online travel sites, theme parks, and hotels, were set to meet Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano and the head of the TSA, Pistoli, on Friday to discuss their concerns that security is crippling travel. We have received hundreds of emails and phone calls from travelers vowing to stop flying, said Geoff Freeman, an executive vice president of the U.S. Travel Association. How about they get thousands? And don't stop. They think this will go away in a few weeks. It's not going away. It's going to get more intense. That's why in the last year I've had several naked body scanner contests and protests and flyers asking folks to post anti-TSA flyers all over your towns and cities. it was in the Dallas News yesterday that somebody put up our flyers about fluoride being poisoned in the water, and that the health department and water department pulled them all down and is scared that that people think fluoride is poison. The power of you going out and pointing out the 10 trillion pound elephant in the living room, that the emperor has no clothes, is unstoppable. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. You've got the power. Start realizing it. I've always told you, as soon as you realize you've got power, as soon as you take action and aren't shunted off into the left-right paradigm and all this garbage, it's over. For 9+ years, for more than that, for 15 years, I've talked about government-sponsored terrorism from Oklahoma City on. I don't care what people think. I've got the facts. And now Glenn Beck's on TV saying Obama's people are getting ready to stage a new Oklahoma City. Unbelievable. And even I saw a neocon site attack Glenn Beck over that, little green footballs. I mean, you're losing control, New World Order. You're losing control because the people are awake and they're going to get more awake. I've described it as America was in a deep trance, a deep sleep. Now we're on the edge of our bed, kind of rubbing, you know, the sleep out of our eyes. But now that people are awake, we're able to give them the coffee. Here, you want, okay, you're awake now. Drink this. Here's all the info. And in just 15, 20 minutes, that caffeine's going to hit. 15, 20 minutes in societal time, 6 months a year. So the globalists are going to stage more attacks and do all sorts of crisis creation and perception management, i.e. lying, to try to put us back to sleep. It ain't going to work if we get up and yell and scream that much louder. You see people starting to go back to sleep, go, wake up! No! Don't let the body snatchers get your soul, your mind, your intellect. So listen to the magnitude of this, how exciting this is. Executives from the travel industry, including online travel sites, theme parks, and hotels, were set to meet with Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano in Pistoli on Friday to discuss their concerns that security is crippling travel. Europe's pulling this stuff out because it's killing tourism. We have received hundreds of emails and phone calls from travelers vowing to stop flying, said the executive vice president of U.S. Travel Association, which was set to meet with Obama administration officials. You can't talk on the one hand about creating jobs in this country and getting the economy back on track, and on the other hand, discourage millions of Americans from flying, which is the gateway to commerce, he said. Well, they're raising taxes all over the country and the world, knowing that'll stall the economy further and have less tax receipts. And the globalist states, CFR, Club of Rome, UN, they want a post-industrial world. It's the big mega banks waging war against real industry and commerce. They want to consolidate it. You think a corrupt bank 70, 80 years ago wanted the farmer on his last payment to make his last payment and own the farm? No, they want all those payments over the years and then to steal them. And they get people to sign fraudulent contracts, you know, 10 years before, and on the last payment day, they come and refuse the payment and take the farm. They're taking the farm, folks. It's really simple. Of course they want to shut down the economy. Of course they don't want you flying. They want carbon taxes, they've announced, of over $1,000 to fly from the U.S. to England. England wants 2,000 pounds to leave England. They're trying to put those in place. That's like $3,500 to leave England on any flight out of the country for carbon taxes. Of course they don't want you flying. Of course they don't want you. The head of the Transportation Administration, what, 6-7 months ago, was in the Wall Street Journal and said, yes, we are anti-car. Yes, we want you out of your cars. Yes, we don't want highways.
WCKLN listeners. Again, that was AJ, and I'm lacing with a little bit of Coldplay, a little bit of Dido for guys, as I like to call it. I don't know if you know the Dido, the female singer out there. She was a female singer behind the chorus for Eminem's Stan. I don't know if I'm getting more or less esoteric for the people out there, but the point is that love, let's get to love. Let's get to love. Why not? What the heck? Why not? All right. So I've been in love a few times, and I'm not bragging. I happen to be good at it. But one thing I learned about love is that it helps to be able to speak it good. Speak it in English, speak it in Italian, speak it in whatever. And we're being discouraged from communicating in interesting and creative ways with the iPods and the iPads and the text and then so on and so on and blah, blah, blah. And it's making it more difficult, and I'm catching a lot of relationships hitting the rocks out there. You know, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I am catching a bit of that flack out there. And I got to tell you, before you lose your ability to communicate, keep in mind that the only way you're going to find true love is if you can communicate who you are. And if you have the confidence to, and if somebody else can communicate who they are, because otherwise I'm catching intel on the streets. I'm catching, you know, girls saying, you know, yeah, she's sleeping with this dude, but she's not sure if they're dating, if he's her boyfriend or not. And I'm like, what? How could you not be? You know, I'm getting this secondhand. I'm like, how could she not be sure? She's like, she doesn't know. And that gives you an idea of the type of communication that's going on. You also got the Xbox Kinect, the new video game controller, where you don't even use a controller. You just sort of imagine yourself in the machine, and you wave and jump around. And it looks fun, but keep in mind, the eventual plan is to brain chip all of us and get us to sort of live in a virtual reality while we're mindless hermaphrodite slaves for the New World Order globalists, insane oligarchs in charge of this system of globalization. So We got to get a couple of things straight here. Communication is key, and approaching somebody like you care about them with information can certainly help. This is Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com on the food supply, the Doomsday Seed Bank Vault in Norway, because that's what's coming up next. That's what's coming up next. Attacks on our food supply.
They're collecting all the natural seeds for plants, for agriculture, and storing them in this massive vault way up in the Nordic Sea, so that you can have access to it. It's guarded with guys with machine guns and all the rest of it, and high-tech security. And it's a private storage place. Of course, Rockefeller and the big boys' gates are all involved in it for the elite to come through once they've killed off all the rest of the planet with their GMO food and their poisons and all the weed killers and all the other nice things they bring upon us. But it says here, in hopes of bolstering our defenses in the event of a major food crisis, researchers sent tens of thousands of seeds from different types of rice last week. So they're collecting all the last wild rice. Last week to a doomsday vault in the archipelago Svalbard. Contained in black boxes, 42,627 samples of rice seeds traveled to the mountains of the Norwegian archipelago, about 746 miles. From the North Pole. The Svalbard Global Seed Vault is buried deep inside the icy mountains, where it protects all of the world's important crop seeds in case of a man-made or natural disaster. Now that should give you pause to think anyway. Why is it there? They have other ones across the world hidden too from the general public. Because they plan to bring on their man-made disaster. The rice collection was sent from the International Rice Research Institute, whose first deposit to the Doomsday Vault included 70,180 rice seed samples sent in 2008. If ideal temperature and storage conditions remain inside the vault, seeds can be stored for hundreds of years, scientists say. Hundreds of years. The giant ice box of sorts, which was officially opened on February 26, 2008, is designed to protect the world's crop diversity from natural or man-made disasters. It's interesting too, the guys who are making sure that all this happens and they can save themselves down the road and their offspring, of course. It's only right that the proper people get through, the fittest. according to them, of course, that they're poisoning you all across the world by dumping their GMO crops all over the planet, even in places who haven't asked for them. They spray them from the air. They drop the seed from the air and contaminate everything and ruin all the natural stuff. But only after they've got the stuff out of there to put in their vaults. That happened in Mexico with the corn. And other countries too. So, it says it's dug into the Plata Birgit Mountain, located near the village of Longyearbyen, against Svalbard, a group of islands north of mainland Norway. The Arctic permafrost offers natural freezing for the seeds, while additional cooling brings the temperatures down to a minus 0.4 degrees Fahrenheit. And if the mountain of snow enshrouding the storage rooms wasn't enough protection, what better bodyguard than one of nature's biggest beasts? The region on Svalbard surrounding the seed vault is remote, severe, and inhabited by polar bears, according to the Global Crop Diversity Trust, which helps to support the vault's operations. As I say, all the big boys, the big foundations are involved in this, because after all, they call themselves the Lucky Gene Club. And I've read about the articles from their meetings. You know, Oprah Winfrey grows and Gates goes, and everybody who suddenly makes it goes. They suddenly get a concern about too many people. Apparently, it comes with getting rich and famous. It just comes on you all of a sudden, and you want to, you know, cut down the population and make sure that your own offspring and will get through, as Darwin predicted it should happen. It says the preciousness of such seeds is reflected in the inaccessible nature of the vault. Well, of course, you just said that 10,000 times already. Anyone seeking access to the seeds themselves will have to pass through four locked doors, the heavy steel entrance doors, a second door approximately 150 millimeters or meters down the tunnel, and finally the two keyed airlock doors, the trust writes. Keys are coded to allow access to different levels of the facility, and not all keys unlock all doors. Then they go into all the different fail-safe backups and so on. They really don't want anyone else getting in there, eh? Fail-safe backups. Amazing. As they plunder the planet and send people out to the remotest countries all over the world. They're doing it all. They've been doing it the last couple of years, few years in fact, to collect the last samples of really wild seeds that have been grown for thousands of years in some areas. And they can get through any kind of natural disaster that they've been through in the past, nasty climates and so on. Well, we'll all be stuck on the same genetic material where they wipe out whole crops, maybe whole countries of the one crop, because they don't have a diversity of crops in the same species. There's many different species within the same species, many strains of it. And Monsanto's making sure you get the one species, which will get wiped out one day, of course, with something that comes along. Obvious, isn't it? And to couple that too, you also have this article here on Bill Gates and these boys. These guys, again, another guy who was pushed up there to be rich and a good front man. Not to say much, of course, because you don't say much when you're a front man. You let your peer man do it all for you. And you'll live a good, happy, fat life. And you won't do an awful lot. And you'll appear a few speeches and read your script that's written by a scriptwriter. Be a good front man for the big boys who really created you. And again, suddenly you'll become so interested in depopulation that you've got to help the people, especially women's health. They're all concerned about women's health, which means sterilization and abortion, by the way, for those really naive people out there. Anyway, experts in the safety of genetically modified organisms have expressed concern over the release of genetically modified mosquitoes into the wild on the Cayman Islands, which was publicized internationally only last month, a year after their initial release. So this is what happens in the world. They spray you for 12 years, they still say nothing about it. They release genetically modified mosquitoes in the Cayman Islands, and they tell us a year later. The trial of the OX513A strain of the dengue-carrying Aedes aegypti mosquito, developed by UK biotechnology company Oxitec, was carried out on Grand Cayman Islands by Cayman Islands Mosquito Research and Control Unit in 2009, followed by a bigger release between May and October this year. Together, they represent the first known release of GM mosquitoes anywhere in the world, which is an utter lie. Because the military was doing it, and under their declassified stuff that I've read in the past, they were driving tractor trailers into little villages and towns in the US back in the 60s and 70s, and the people were waking up and their houses were covered in mosquitoes. So that's a big lie. Anyway, unpublished results of the trial showing the GM male mosquitoes competed with wild males were presented at the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene annual meeting in the U.S. last week. That was on the 4th of November. The male GM mosquitoes mate with normal females to produce larvae that die unless the antibiotic tetracycline is present. In tetracycline's absence, an enzyme accumulates to a toxic level, killing the larvae. The developers hope the strategy could combine with other mosquito control methods to reduce transmission in dengue-prone areas. Ricarda Steinbrecher, a geneticist and co-director of EcoNexus, which is a UK non-profit research organisation, expressed surprise that the trials had occurred, saying that they had not been mentioned in the fifth meeting of the parties to the Cartagena Protocol on Biosafety, which addresses international safety issues relating to GM organisms, in Nagoya, Japan last month. She describes the lack of publicity surrounding the trials as worrying, both from the scientific perspective as well as public participation perspective. Then they go through the stuff that they talked to the government of the Cayman Islands that gave it a go-ahead. Obviously they were paid off too, and no doubt they gave them a little holiday during that period so that they wouldn't get infected with anything in case something went wrong. But did the public get a vote on it? Were they told? Of course not. Any more than you're told what they're doing to you. Anyway, just over 3 million male mosquitoes were released in the Cayman Islands this year. Oxitec sent the GM eggs to the island, which are a British overseas territory, and they were hatched and grown at the MRCU. Angela Harris, a senior researcher at MRCU, told SciDev.net that her unit consulted with several Cayman Islands government departments beforehand. She said there had been a newspaper article and public consultation within the Cayman Islands, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, they're going to do it again, and eventually they say here, they're going to do it possibly in America, the US as well. It says here they're waiting for approval for the release of GM mosquitoes in Brazil, Panama, and the United States. Did you get asked about this? Were you asked what you thought about it, and are you for it or against it? No. Any more than the peasants of the Cayman Islands were asked either. But that's the world you're living in now. They still call it democracy, though, just to con people. And it works with a lot of people today. They still think they're a democracy of some kind, even though the US is supposed to be a republic. Ah, dear, dear, dear. And then again, too, you get Walmart putting up their prices, sometimes by up to 60%, just craftily, quietly raising them. Now they have a $70 competition, and all the little stores that have a variety of stuff are out of business. That's what they do with monopolies. They put you out of business, undercut you till you're gone. Then they jack everything up. They do it with food and everything else too, with the groceries and supermarkets. Walmart has been quietly raising prices. It says J.P. Morgan Chase recently released a study of a Virginia Walmart found that in the past 6 weeks the retailer raised prices on an average of 6%, but on some products as high as 60%, up to 60%. It says that isn't a typo. The rising prices are found throughout the store in groceries, laundry and cleaning supplies, and so on. They've all been affected by the major price hikes. Let me give you some examples of what went up. Even oatmeal went up by 65%. And it says many middle class folks join the ranks of the poor every day. Economic downturn. I like it's a depression, folks. It's a manufactured, planned depression to bring you down into a second or one and a half world status while the third world countries come down.
CKLN Radio, 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Just got a call from Sean, a caller who wanted me to talk a bit about the history of the West's involvement in South and Central America and the Third World, basically, overthrowing dictators there, or installing dictators and overthrowing democratically elected leaders who want to work for the people. And this all ties in. You heard this clip from Alan Watt, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, from Friday, November 12th, talking about the Doomsday Seed Vault, talking about genetically modified mosquitoes, and talking about how Walmart is price jacking as they raise prices now to basically screw us, maximize their profits, and impoverish us, as is the plan. And how does this all relate together? Well, I'm going to take you back to some quotes from General Smedley Butler. I talked about him on Thursday's Remembrance Day show because he wrote a book called War is a Racket as a former top military man in the early 1900s who later foiled a fascist coup in the United States in 1933 as exposed in the Congressional McCormack-Dickstein Committee hearings in 1934. And this coup was in part sponsored by Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the last president, George Bush. So it goes back quite a ways, but this is what Smedley Butler said about his military service. Quote, "I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service, and during that period, I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism." Another quote, "Like all the members of the military profession, I never had a thought of my own until I left the service. My mental faculties remained in suspended animation while I obeyed the orders of higher-ups. This is typical with everyone in the military service." Quote, "War is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives." Another quote, "There are 40 million men under arms in the world today, and our statesmen and diplomats have the temerity to say that war is not in the making? Hell's bells. Are these 40 million men being trained to be dancers?" And final quote from Mr. Smedley Butler from 1935, "A few profit and the many pay, but there is a way to stop it. You can't end it by disarmament conferences. You can't eliminate it by peace parleys at Geneva. Well-meaning but impractical groups can't wipe it out by resolutions. It can be smashed effectively only by taking the profit out of war." And essentially what happened is the colonial powers, in seeking to launder their colonial efforts of the last few hundred years, created this globalized system with the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and so on. And what they did was they would basically impoverish countries and then give them horrible IMF or World Bank loans at ridiculous interest rates and then further impoverish these countries and put them under international globalist banker control. Now, with respect to South America and Central America, Latin America, there have been a number of coups that have taken place. Salvador Allende in the 1960s, plane blew up he was a leader of Chile. Nicaragua, the war with the Sandinistas, and on and on and on. But all of this originated at the School of Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia. It's since been renamed to something a little less easy to remember. But the School of Americas is a death squad and military junta training facility. Basically, what they did is they took soldiers from Latin America and they trained them at the School of Americas in Georgia, sent them back to Latin America, and helped use those soldiers to suppress local populations on behalf of big Western corporations. Amazing movie to see about this is called Life and Debt. Life and Debt by Stephanie Black, where she talks about Jamaica gaining independence from England in 1962, I believe, and then being stuck in a bind since they were heavily in debt and needed money for modernization. And so they went around the world looking for loans. And you know, they were thinking of working with the Middle East, but then there's pressures put on by the IMF, World Bank, and the Anglo-American establishment to prevent other countries from giving loans to these third world countries. So they have to go to the Anglo-American establishment-controlled system of globalization, which is the World Bank and the IMF. So what needs to be understood here are a couple of things. One, our soldiers, our intelligence agencies, our police can be, and to many degrees have been, trained to be truly vicious to people around the world and to people here in North America, in Western Europe, in Western civilization. And we even saw some of that at the G20 summit, where our cops and other cops from across Canada were sort of told, hey, Toronto is your, you know, martial law police state zone, and you can do what thou wilt in it. And there's even a new movie called Into the Fire from Dan Dix, Brian Law, and Steve Davies at press4truth.ca. You can go there to see some clips in the teaser where they break down exactly what our cops were encouraged to do here and why we have to stop that from happening again. But there it is, folks. There is a giant global system, and different countries are used as testing grounds for what will work on human beings. What can human beings be taught to accept? What can human beings be taught to endure? And how can human beings be enslaved by other human beings who are being enslaved into enslaving other human beings through the global economic system? So there in a nutshell is it briefly. Many great lefty intellectuals in particular have talked about the West's role in overthrowing governments, democratically elected governments in Central and South America. People to look into include Noam Chomsky, who's also recently come out in 9/11, believe it or not, and said there was no evidence supporting Al-Qaeda being responsible for the attacks. Naomi Klein, another one. John Pilger, another one. And there's some amazing, amazing intellectuals out there to look into. But this is all coming home to roost here in 2010 as we head into 2011 and as we crash into 2012. Because the plan is to make us incapable of dealing with serious issues that affect us, including threats to our living standards posed by our own governments under control of central bankers and multinational corporations. I'll give you an example. Toronto, it's known that we absolutely hate it when our big stars, our big sports stars leave, like Vince Carter for the Raptors or Chris Bosh for the Raptors. And you know, we get all worked up and we get all frenzied and we get all mad at them. Now, one of the problems with having a devotion to sports that goes above and beyond your devotion to anything else, including your family, is that it makes you weaker. All this vicarious existence makes you weaker and disconnects you from reality. And I got to be honest with you, I got a couple of friends that are deep into sports, deep into the Leafs and so on, and they're going through a couple of hard times right now, and they're having trouble dealing with it. And I told them this would happen, you know, a couple of years ago. I told them, watch for the culture, man. Watch for your affection for what we're sold, because it's designed to weaken you, and I can see that process happening. So there's all this history. We know so much about how corrupt the people in charge of us have been, and it's now time to sort of figure out what to do about that as the chickens come home to roost, as we're sprayed like bugs, as our food is modified and stripped of nutrients, and the DNA of the food we eat is being re-engineered to increase the rates of cancer. And as if you go to cancer.ca, the big main cancer charity here in Canada, then you can see for yourself, if you do a little digging through their website, that 40 to 45% of us are now expected to get cancer as of 2009 trends, according to cancer.ca. So there's many, many strategies that are weakening us right now, and there's many, many ways to get empowered against that. But one of the things I recommend is music. That's why I play music on this show. Another is trying to find the history. You know, just doing a little bit more thinking about where things come from. I was at a giant Loblaws superstore, grocery store the other day, and I was just amazed at the size of it. It looked like a goddamn airplane hangar. And yet, at the same time, I was wondering where all these things came from, and sort of, you know, taking myself through a bit of a narrative in terms of the products at the store. And there are narratives out there for everything. You could see video games going from sort of harmless Super Mario Brothers style stuff to Call of Duty Black Ops, you know, which sold 5.5 million copies on its first day the other day at $65 a pop, to a bunch of, you know, young people and, you know, adults and so on, many of whom are going to be asked to commit Black Ops on us in the next 5 or 10 years after getting used to playing the video game. which includes urban warfare drills, which includes population and riot suppression, which includes false flag terrorism, which includes government drug running, which includes death squads and assassinations and so on. And so you can see, you know, how this process has been managed. You know, on that note, going to break down a couple of things from the Metro, and just to show you the difference. It says here, Beyond Hermione, The Many Pursuits of Harry Potter's Emma Watson. So a little article on Emma Watson. Again, this is the cover of the Metro today. It's November 15th edition. Ramsay, celebrity chef in town on book tour. Argos give Toronto a rare playoff win. Gardner Express Worm, which is they're basically talking about encasing the Gardner in a glass tube. The Year of Living Dangerously, Somali pirates release captive British couple. Again, they're crazy over there. They talk about the Rwandans being crazy and killing each other. The Congolese being crazy and killing each other. The Haitians being crazy and killing each other and needing more, you know, UN support and UN troops. And in fact, even Toronto police officers were recently sent to Haiti to help with peacekeeping efforts. And yet those peacekeeping efforts are just the colonialist guys for suppressing local populations. So don't forget that. Canadians killed in hotel blast as well. Basically a gas explosion at a hotel. Four Canadians were killed. 9-year-old Canadian boy among the victims of a gas explosion at a Mexican resort. Hotels hosting several groups from Canada, including a company vacation. So tragic that, but there are a number of other issues in Mexico as well, including how their country is beholden to globalist international bankers and suppressing their people, stealing all their resources, impoverishing their people, and basically funding and running the drug war, because drugs are another way of suppressing our abilities to fight back. And on and on and on and on. Not that much news going on right now in the Metro here. RCMP head defends G20 actions. Finally, a little note on the RCMP's role in the G20 here. The head of the RCMP has defended police actions at the Toronto G20 summit despite more than 1,000 arrests and complaints of violent tactics and arbitrary searches. In correspondence released under the Access to Information Act, RCMP Commissioner William Elliott says police, quote, acted professionally to ensure safety, from the Canadian Press. Now, this is a tiny, tiny little article, and it took an Access to Information request to even get this. Let's find out more about the federal government's role in what happened at the G20, something that I've been stressing since our cops are being targeted by most of the actions so far unfairly, considering there were other groups above them involved and in charge as well. Before I go, if you do want tickets to What in the World Are We Spraying at the Bloor Cinema, email me at blackkrishna, blackkrishna, @gmail.com, blackkrishna@gmail.com. Patrick from Conspiracy Culture at conspiracyculture.com, great book and DVD store here in downtown Toronto, has generously offered a couple of tickets for me to give away to my listeners. So please do email me at blackkrishna@gmail.com if you would like a pair of tickets to What in the World Are We Spraying at the Bloor Cinema at Bloor and Bathurst on Saturday at 7 p.m., I believe. 7 p.m. on Saturday. Go to conspiracyculture.com for more details. The bottom line is it's about chemtrails and yet another way of them sedating us. I didn't see them sedating the suburbs out there in Milton, covering the sky in giant X's that nobody can see. You know, which is the phenomenal thing. And even I'm looking at advertisements on TV and in magazines, and I'm seeing chemtrails in the background of those as they sort of normalize that phenomena to get us used to it. And they'll eventually bring out the reasons for geoengineering. But keep in mind, Winnipeg, Manitoba was sprayed in the 1940s by the U.S. military, sued and won because the U.S. military was saying the health effects of what happens if you spray a given population. Tons and tons and tons of crazy stuff going on out there, folks. But the bottom line is that we know it, we can show it, we can speak it. And as long as we maintain our critical thinking faculties and our compassion, we got a shot. But enough of me. It's been a great 15th of November 2010. The People's DJ David James is up next with your four-hour jazz experience. Do not miss it, because if you miss it, then you'll be missing some of the best jazz you'll hear on the radio here in the city of Toronto or anywhere in the world. Couple of websites to shout out before I go. Infowars.com. Get the latest on the body scanners issue. This is an issue where the Infowar is actually winning, as more and more people are getting upset as the mainstream media is reporting on the possibility of cancer being caused by these naked body scanners, and as the invasions of our privacy and the assaults on our dignity are repelled by people on the internet, on the streets, putting out flyers and posters, and within major institutions itself, like the travel and tourism industry, and governments, and in fact, the airports themselves, where a lot of people and pilots and airline pilots are saying they don't want to go through these based on what they've heard. So the InfoWar can be successful. InfoWars.com is a key place to go to help understand that concept. NaturalNews.com, the best health website in the world. VRAN.org for vaccine exemption forms and information. VigilantCitizen.com for some amazing news on how agricultural creation industry is controlled. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com for the great work of Alan Watt. Henry Mako, M-A-K-O-W. com for some great info on relationships and a variety of other social and cultural issues from an anti-New World Order perspective. Locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com on the streets every Saturday. It's getting cold, so we'll see how long we and they keep it up. But I've been doing a great job since the summer of 2009, maintaining a presence on the streets, in public on these issues, giving people someone to talk to and sharing information with their fellow citizens, creating a model that can be used anywhere in the world. Also, PressForTruth.ca, great local journalism company. Conspiracy Culture at ConspiracyCulture.com. Again, the screening of What in the World Are We Spraying? Go to ConspiracyCulture.com for more details. And the Toronto Street newspaper out there. Flip a homeless guy a toonie, help him get a coffee, and get yourself a little more hip to these issues. Maybe even pass it on when you're done with it, so people can realize that there are people with the courage to publish this type of information, and that this type of information, especially when it's related to your life and how you're being affected, can in fact help you improve that. We can all be a little healthier and happier in this city. We can all skip on our Communist Canada social constipation and go right towards the screw you guys if we feel like it. And so let's all try and engineer that. I'm out of here, folks. Have a great Monday. I know it's a Monday, but try and have a great one anyway. And try and take care of yourself and each other. Peace out.